Back together again, eh?
Let's play.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
Looks like Daddy's bringing home the barbecue.
These donuts are great.
I'd buy that for $1.
Oh! Dodson. Dodson. We've got Dodson here.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
All we had to do was follow the damn train, CJ.
It was me all along, Austin.
No! No!
You're listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a weekly pop cultural nostalgia podcast. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez. And who might you be?
I'm Alex Mitchell, your co-host.
And, yeah, so we're back. The first episode of 2017, of the new year. Right. We took a short little break, but we're back, and we're
better
joined,
than ever, also.
And so we are joined by three special guests. And who might you be?
I'm Jim. I'm James Alvarez, Obscure Gents, writer of The Obscure Gentleman, brother to Aaron, war brother to Shred.
Thank you.
And, I'm here because I've watched wrestling all my life since I was younger. I was introduced to WCW by an in-law or a Filipino cousin. Not sure how I can explain that, but he said, "Oh, you like these guys? Well, there's a guy named Sting and Ric Flair." And I was like, "What?" And then I started watching AWA, NWA, everything that was out there.
Yeah.
So I've been a huge wrestling fan since I was younger. I've recently, I mean, I'm not as into it, but I still look at wrestling news and wrestling rumors and whatnot.
Yeah.
This is a wrestling episode, by the way, guys.
Yes, one of our many classic wrestling episodes we've done. So, who are you?
I'm Travis, very happy to be back here to talk more about Doctor Who again. It's been a long time since we discussed Doctor Who.
Our field mouse, yeah. How was the Christmas episode, by the way?
It was good.
Aaron?
Yeah, I liked it. Okay. I liked it a lot. Okay.
So I always love being here for the Doctor Who episode.
So, and you don't watch wrestling.
I watched some. I remember Doink the Clown and
1-2-3 Kid.
And then I watched around the time when like The Rock was still prevalent. But Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't wrestling.
Austin.
I was gonna call him the Austin, the Texas Rattlesnake. He was around, but he wasn't really wrestling anymore because of his injuries. But he was still like a presence in a lot of the WWF.
Yeah, like Commissioner what? Austin, right?
Yeah, it's when he was just
what
sheriff,
he wasn't wrestling.
Like sheriff.
What?
Austin, that
kind of thing. there was a time where he was around and not wrestling.
No, he's doing a wrestling thing too.
Oh, I got you. I know, but you know, I'm gonna pretend I got you.
So
I also liked Mick Foley a lot, mostly Mankind and. The Mankind stuff was always great. Val Venus because of Hello Ladies.
Who might you be?
My name is David. On Twitter, I'm Comedic Bust. I am here because I am you can call me a mark, a smark, a smart mark. Those are all wrestling terms. I know more about wrestling than I probably should admit. I contribute it to one of the many reasons why I'm single. I know an unhealthy amount about the Nature Boy Ric Flair, who we are talking about today.
Yeah.
And I am very, very excited to dive into him and his career.
Yeah.
Now, did you mention why you're doing a Ric Flair episode?
All right. So the reason we're doing this today is a few months back there was a Twitter competition, and Stunami on Twitter won.
You mean Stunami.
Or Stunami, if you want to pronounce it. But Stunami won. And his topic that he picked as one of his prizes was Ric Flair. And the thing is, we've been wanting to do Ric Flair for a while. Today, we're finally going to tackle Ric Flair. We're heading into the squared circle. Woo! So, yeah. So, I mean, there's nothing to it but to do it, I guess. So,
What a segue.
Let's start the show.
Woo!
it's weird to me because, like, you don't really see guys like this in wrestling anymore where they've been, like, around for, like 4 decades.
Jesus not 4 decades.
It's crazy.
He's 400 years old, guys,
like,
by the way, if you're math
He's a fucking vampire.
He was working up until, like last decade, like 2000, like, nine or
how old is he, by the way?
He's
400 at least. We've established
67.
Whoa, wait. He's only 67?
He looks a little bit older.
Doesn't look a day over 85.
Well, I thought he was in his 80s.
Well, that's because of all the bumps and shit he had to take. No, and all the bumps he probably took as well. So
these guys live a hard life.
They do.
Yes. With lots of cocaine and razor blades to the forehead.
At least he didn't get, like, nutsack forehead.
Well,
like Dusty Rhodes.
Yes, because he definitely had
the scarring on his, like, right here.
Yeah, that was
fun. You know, the first time I actually saw that happen was in a WrestleMania steel cage match where King Kong Bundy.
You were at WrestleMania?
No, I was not at WrestleMania. But it was the worst razor blade job I've ever seen. I don't know. I can't remember if it was WrestleMania or actually like a Saturday Night Live main event. Bobby Heenan just cut, like, was obviously cutting his fucking head. And I'm like, what the? Jesus Christ, I didn't know what was going on, and my uncle at the time was like, oh yeah, he's come with the razor blades, like sometimes they just keep it in their cheek, or sometimes they do that. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, Jesus Christ, and then the next moment you see, because the door slams and hits him in the head, he's gushing blood, and it's because Bobby Heenan was doing such a fucking shit job of cutting up King Kong Bundy's head. But back to Ric Flair.
Okay, so how did he get his start? What's the whole genesis of Ric Flair?
Don't ask me the whole genesis of Ric Flair, because that means I have to go into...
or the Evangelion.
Good job. Where I have to talk about his dad fucking his mom, and then the 9 months that he... Like, don't
Well, dads do fuck moms.
It's true.
Sometimes. Ric Flair, he's a legend. Unquestionably.
He's the Hulk Hogan of...
Before Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. He's the ultimate, just like, narcissistic... Not to be confused with the narcissist. I mean, he's...
Lex Luger.
Yeah, he was just this fucking force of, I'm amazing, I'm the greatest, I'm rich, women love me, I'm fucking amazing. Wheeling, dealing,
yeah. Styling, profiling.
He was great.
I mean, he was one of the biggest draws in the South, right?
Yeah, so... Yeah.
He used to be a big guy for you, by the way.
He actually started in 1972. Yes. He wrestled for Vern Gagne in the AWA. When he started initially, he wasn't the Nature Boy. He was just Ric Flair. He weighed 290 pounds wrestling.
He was bigger.
He never gimmick.
He didn't have that gimmick. He didn't have the Nature Boy gimmick.
I also read he went by Ricky Rhodes at one point.
He went by several names because
he was a big Dusty Rhodes.
He actually idolized Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
Before him and Dusty became rivals, which they later did.
Which is weird because people don't think about it like that. They always think Ric Flair's the old guy and Dusty's the old guy, but like a little bit younger than him, and people don't realize it was like the inverse.
Dusty came before him, so he idolized Dusty Rhodes. He trained with Ken Patera was
Olympian,
heavyweight Olympian, and they trained together, and that's why he got so big, and that's why he was 290 pounds. And then he left Vern Gagne in 74. So when he left to the NWA, he started wrestling. That's when he started wrestling Dusty. And he started wrestling a lot of guys there who would later become WWF wrestlers for Vincent McMahon Sr. But before that, he got into a car accident. Or not car accident. He got into an airplane accident in 1975.
Jesus.
Where several people died, actually. Several professional wrestlers died. And after that, he fucked up his back so bad that the doctor told him, like, dude, you're never going to wrestle again. And so he thought his wrestling career was over. And he said, fuck that. This is what I'm passionate about. This is what I love to do. So he actually came back in 8 months and started wrestling again.
But he never really bumped on his back anymore. He would just, like, kind of, like, he fell a certain way where it wouldn't like hurt his like fucked up back anymore.
Well, because of that, he had to change his whole style.
Yeah.
And so he became a technical wrestler. And so that's kind of how...
What's a technical wrestler? Travis just asked.
Travis asked what a technical wrestler was?
Yes, he did.
Well, so, what's a technical wrestler? You can go ahead and edit that into that part.
So a technical wrestler is someone who isn't a brawler. A brawler is like a brute who's someone just going to come in and kick your ass and beat you around.
Do a lot of the stomp punches.
I mean, if you look at initial pictures of them in like Google or Bing, whatever you use.
Use Bing, you get points.
Yes. If you use it, you can see he's a fucking bodybuilder.
Yeah.
When he first started, because as David pointed out, he was more of a brawler type, more of a powerhouse.
Yeah.
But these pictures almost look like they're Photoshop because he is so fucking huge.
Yeah.
And then after that accident, obviously, he couldn't work out the same. His regimen changed. He had to change to that technical wrestler, or he wouldn't have.
Which is hard for a lot of wrestlers to do, right? Like change their.
Absolutely, yeah. He changed his whole dynamic.
It's like reinventing the wheel. It's like a weird thing to ask a wrestler to do.
Yeah, he had to change everything and start from scratch in order to keep doing what he loved to do.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's kind of like trying to train yourself from going from being right-handed to left-handed.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess the way you could put it.
Yeah,
right.
What you've always been known.
So, you know, eventually, because of that, he became a technical savvy wrestler. A lot of people accused him of stealing Buddy Rogers. Yeah. Buddy Rogers is the original Nature Boy.
Correct.
A lot of people accused him of stealing Buddy Rogers' gimmick. And so in 1978, Rick was more than well aware of this. He called out Buddy Rogers.
Huh.
And so him and Buddy Rogers had a feud in the NWA. Buddy was nice enough. Buddy was at the tail end of his career to put Rick over, meaning
as every older wrestler.
That kind of happens. But meaning what that means in English is Buddy took a dive and let Rick beat him.
Wrestling's fake, by the way. To anyone listening to this, it's not.
It's all predetermined.
Yes, it's scripted outcomes,
but it's still very like demanding on the body.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean they're not hell of athletes. You know, these guys are incredible.
And
athletes.
A lot of people sometimes die because you know they some
well,
horrible.
It seems like a lot of them die.
Freak out. Well, that's I mean
well,
like
oh, because mean, of drugs mean, in hotel rooms
due to injuries and shit like that. Yeah, some drugs.
Hotel rooms are the leading killer.
Unless
wrestlers.
Your name's Owen Hart.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean the biggest thing with these wrestlers is I mean it is it's very political, and for someone like for him to take the dive, and it happens, and you're supposed to do that, and that's a classy thing to do. But then there's people like obviously like Hulk Hogan who won't do that, who refuses to do that, and won't let the younger guys shine, and are trying to hold on to the past. But a guy like Buddy Rogers, he's been in the business for a long time. He knows he's supposed to, just like Ric Flair did at the end of his career. It's like, well, he's not going to beat Batista. He's going to fucking take dives.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
and that's the crazy thing is that his career is like. We're talking about like NWA stuff now. Then we could talk about him doing the whole like the circuit around like the different like territories and all that WCW stuff. You know, then you're talking about like his short WWF like run, and then he eventually went back, and then Evolution. Like, it's crazy that you have like this one guy who's like been consistently wrestling since like the 70s up to like the 2000s.
Yeah, I mean he spanned five generations.
Yeah.
In 81, he beat Dusty for the title, but Dusty didn't want to put Rick over. So Dusty refused to put Rick over, unless it was in a small town where Dusty wasn't over. So they did it in Kansas City because that was a small town, small marketplace. And so Dusty put him over in Kansas City. Rick became the champ. When Rick went backstage, back then, when championships changed hands, all the boys in the back, meaning the other wrestlers, would congratulate you, this and that. No one congratulated Rick.
He was on
his own. But when you're the NWA champion back in the day, you represented not only that company, but then you would bounce to other territories, meaning other wrestling
because
companies.
The NWA had, like, different, like, promotions, right?
Okay. Right.
So for those listening, wrestling used to be a lot different than like how you kind of view it nowadays, where it's like, oh well, there's the WWE and it's like it's national. There are carved out territories where different organizations would wrestle, right?
Right. So each state owned like each wrestling company owned like four or five states for their particular.
Yeah. We had our own, I think, NWA over here. But
yeah. So NWA owned like four or five states. WWWF. Owned like five states in the Northeast. That was Vince McMahon Sr.'s territory. The AWA owned another four or five states. And they would each have their own individual champion. But the NWA at the time was the most prestigious of the champions. And so Ric Flair was the champ. And so he would travel to the different territories for the different companies, fighting their champions.
Yeah.
And like, he would win.
I saw Memphis wrestling where he went against like, Jerry Lawler.
Yeah. And yeah, back in the cool. day, Jerry Lawler was Memphis wrestling. Yeah. He was their guy.
He was the other king of Memphis.
Which right. is, which is yeah. pretty crazy for people to realize. Like, I mean, because most people nowadays just think of Jerry the King Lawler as
a commentary
guy.
Silly commentary
but guy. Even when he first like kind of hit big in the WWE, he was a big heel against Bret Hart. I mean, yeah. kind of put him over. He came.
But he was
over
like a funny heel. He wasn't like
it was. But it was also kind of interesting to see how people were trying to merge these champions that were huge in their territories. All of a sudden, like okay, now let's see how he works in yeah. WWE.
And Dusty's got polka dots and
yeah, know. And it was one of those funny things of these were huge guys in these territories, yeah. and Ric Flair like fighting Jerry Lawler was a huge fucking thing.
And from what I understand, Ric Flair was actually one of the more well-known wrestlers throughout most of the territories.
Yeah. Well, his goal was to get, you know, be a bad guy and then essentially like kind of like build up feuds and like get people in to see, yeah. oh, our hometown hero beat up this fucking dick coming in here with like robes and, you know, like sunglasses.
He was the perfect heel. He was the reverse image of Hulk Hogan. I mean, everyone's thing of the perfect face was Hulk Hogan yeah. back then. And the perfect heel was Ric Flair. I mean, he was what nobody was. He was rich, playing to all these hillbilly types. I mean, he's just like this arrogant fucking person who's just going in there telling everyone, you're all piece of shit, I'm better, I'm going to beat you.
And he cheated too. Well, I mean, like he like would put like chains around his hands and stuff like that and do like stuff like that, like underhanded stuff.
But yeah, but I mean, that's the heel gimmick.
And yeah.
He was pre-Hulk Hogan, actually, because Hulk yeah. Hogan came around like in 85, 86. That's when Hulkamania took off.
Yeah,
when it ran wild.
Yeah, and so...
He worked with Gagne also, didn't he?
Who?
Hogan?
He did. That was pre-Hulkamania, though.
Yeah, that was like... Wasn't he still just like Terry Bollea?
He
something?
Was. Okay. Yeah, and that he wore like purple trunks back then.
You were watching wrestling... You watched like old tapes and stuff, right? Like
no, I was watching it as it was happening.
So, did you get to see like Royal Rumble 92, which was
yes.
Ric Flair's like one of his crowning moments?
I oh, so you both saw that?
Yeah, I mean, I saw those. Live. I mean, I saw the first Royal Rumble where Hacksaw Jim Duggan won it on Raw.
Okay.
I mean, oh, wow. it's...
Yeah, it wasn't a pay-per-view until the next year.
It
yeah.
wasn't, and I was just like, wow, this guy won this Royal Rumble thing, and I thought it was the most amazing thing ever. And
because anyone, it felt like anyone could win.
Because I was watching Battle Royales, and those were my favorites. And my whole thing was like, again, talking to my uncles, like, why aren't they fighting? Why are they just waiting in the ring to start? And so the Royal Rumble kind of was like, fuck yeah! It's just now it's you wait for the guy to come in and you fight them and whatnot. Yeah. So.
So what did you think of Ric Flair coming into the WWE?
Okay, yeah, like that blew my fucking mind because it was like a crossover. It was like DC and Marvel. To me, there was WWF was Marvel and then DC was NWA at the time.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have Sting and Ric Flair. You have Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper. You have these forces where it's like, fuck, this is the great good is the guy with the flat top and the face paint and then old Ric Flair. So it was one of those things where they first announced it and they had a faux press conference. It was fucking amazing.
Because he still had his belt, right? His actual
WCW. Yeah, it was like, he's coming over. This is the fucking main. This is fucking amazing. And then I remember just being let down of like, wow, this is really fucking boring. Like, it was just, I felt it was 5 years too late for that to occur.
Yeah.
It was still great to see them in because then you start seeing people like Tully Blanchard come in. You start seeing the rest of the Horsemen come in, Barry Windham.
So this is around like when the state of wrestling was officially changing.
Yeah, this is when you were seeing crossovers of people from WWF and NWA cross over. I mean, when Barry Windham came over to me, he was also a huge face in NWA. Well, to see him come over, I mean, the wall of my room was covered with basically fat guys in little shorts. I mean, it wasn't like mostly the WWF guys. It was mostly like AWA and NWA, where it was like Greg Gagne's, your Nick Bockwinkles, all these guys, Dusty Rhodes, Dick Murdoch.
So like, these are the old school, like, for you then?
Yeah, like all these guys where I'm watching like the original Starcades. I'm like seeing these things where it was just like, fuck, like these huge ladder matches, like these people like hurting each other. Guys with just fucking mullets and big bellies fighting each other, but it was fun. And so, like, to see Ric Flair and see these other guys jump ship to a more polished place. Yeah. I mean, these aren't attractive men. by any means, but they're coming to like WWF, where in my opinion they were the prettier boys and the younger guys. But it's like, yeah, but these guys with the big bellies and the fucking mullets can wrestle the fuck out of you guys who look buffer, like wrestling like the Jim Powers and the fucking Hercules Hernandez and shit. I mean,
and how about you? Similar thoughts on that or different though?
What's the question?
Regarding when Ric Flair was in, like, WWE. Like,
when you first saw him.
In the early 90s, like, very early 90s.
Well, he fought in the Royal Rumble in 92. He
had the I almost said Curtis Axel. The Mr. Perfect
kind
of friendship going on.
Yeah, there. Mr. Perfect was kind of like his bodyguard. Yeah. That was his role. Mr. Perfect's one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Oh, very underrated.
The Perfect Plex is one of the greatest finishing moves of all time.
One of the best wrestlers ever to not hold the heavyweight championship.
He had the ice title. Really?
Yeah. He never did.
No, neither did Rick Rude.
He had the Intercontinental. They all those guys held the Intercontinental.
They all held the Intercontinental title, but not the world.
That was like the wrestlers' like belt. Though,
it was. Yeah, it was the wrestlers' belt.
But also at the time back in the day, because I mean, as long as Hulk Hogan held it. Like, he took it from the Sheik, but once that happened, it almost changed where it's like, good guys had to have the belt for the longest fucking time. So, what sucks is heels got disrespected, and they didn't get to hold the belt. I mean, Hogan held it for way too long. That's why Andre the Giant turned heel, was because in, I think it was the Snake Pit, he turned on Hogan because Hogan got this trophy for being a world champion for however long, and then Andre got this tiny little thing, and that's when he choked Hogan. Bobby the Brain came in.
Piper's
pit. No, it was the Snake Pit.
Oh, yeah. I might be
It was shit like that where it's like, it sucks that a Ric Flair, but then again, how many times was Ric Flair champion?
In WWE?
No, just overall.
Oh, he's a 16-time world champion.
But then there are people that say, well, you know, when you look at the different title changes.
Yeah, there's up to 25.
Yeah, but 16's the canon number.
Yeah, for world championships. Damn.
Yeah, which is pretty fucking impressive. I mean, that's pretty fucking awesome.
In 92, when he came into the WWE after his stint in WCW, he was the third entrant in the Royal Rumble. I didn't think he was going to win it. And that was the first...
I'm now realizing the third entrant is kind of like a weird, like, interesting number to have. Because that's AJ Styles' entry number also.
Yeah, and AJ Styles had a great run when he was in the Rumble when he debuted.
Exactly, and he's doing great now.
So. He's doing phenomenal. Pun intended. But I didn't think he was going to win it. That was the first...
No one gets it. It's all good.
That was the first year that the WWF title was decided by the Royal Rumble winner.
Just so, like AJ's Rumble run also.
So, you know, I thought there was no way they're going to let this WCW guy win.
Yeah.
Vince
It's like a pipe dream. It's like, oh, it's fun... It's not gonna happen.
Okay, wait, yeah, so Vince was very anti WCW.
I'm confused. And still kind of feels so like he wins. What the hell happens to that belt?
Well, the belt was vacant, so the winner of the Royal Rumble becomes the WWF champion.
Oh, okay.
If you're asking about his other belt that he took with him to TV, he technically wasn't allowed to do that. But is that correct? He wasn't allowed to do it. He did it anyway, and then eventually there was like a big lawsuit or something that said you can't have the title on our title on your TV.
So what you're referring to is when he came over, he brought the WCW Heavyweight Championship with him, which WCW made a huge scene over saying, hey, you can't do that. He is claiming Ric Flair that he made a $25,000 deposit for that belt, which he never got back.
That's his
belt.
So
he's saying, it's my belt, I can do what I want with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he never got that money back to this day, according to his autobiography. So he can do with it what he pleases, which is why he was able to display it on WWF TV.
So,
but back to the Rumble.
Yeah.
He was the third entrant, ended up going 60 minutes in the match, won the whole thing, defeating Sid Vicious at the end. And that was absolutely incredible. I was so happy for him to see him do that. He got his just due as one of the best workers in the world, not only at that time, but of all time. And by workers, I mean just pure wrestlers in the ring. The man could just go.
And character-wise, too. There's not a lot of people that can kind of match that grandiose, like...
The grandstanding.
I feel a lot of that, though, is also due to his real life. I mean, when you read his autobiography or things other people have written about him, he was that fucking guy.
I mean, when you make the money, there's no, like, because I hear, like, anytime he's at a bar, drinks are on Rick, you know, yes, every time you're at a restaurant, there's a good chance he'll pay for everyone's meal and all that.
Well, he's gone bankrupt more than once.
Yes.
Because he's lived the lifestyle that he preaches on screen.
Yeah.
His robes alone cost $8,000 to $20,000.
And those are very, like, sequined.
There's a famous quote. It's like, my shoes cost more than your house.
Yes. These $16,000 shoes, they cost more.
But he did that intentionally. He chose to live that lifestyle because he wanted you to believe that character was real.
Just like Million Dollar Man, Vince McMahon gave him money to spend whenever
he went out. That sort of archetype goes back to, like, Gorgeous George, right?
Like, the kind of, like, just, like, very pretty-looking guy
who looks like better than you. Sort of thing.
He looks better than you. He can out-wrestle
you. Does that exist anymore? Is there that type of wrestler anymore?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not on the same level, but I could say, like Tyler Breeze is kind of, you don't know what I'm talking about.
So there's wrestlers but are they still, like, the... They're pretty boys who are just, like, complete assholes and grandstand.
Well, of course.
That exists, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, heels in general, but...
Bobby Roode's doing that.
Right yeah, the, Bobby Roode in NXT, he goes by Glorious, that's his character.
And he was, like, Ric Flair probably loaned a lot of that to him.
A lot of people steal from Ric Flair because...
Yeah. But they actually work together.
Yeah, TNA, but Ric Flair is Ric Flair.
Of course,
you know, I mean, he set the trend and... He was the first.
Because whenever I see a wrestler who's kind of like that or similar, I'm just like, well, that's totally just Ric Flair. That's it's like a softer Ric Flair.
But Ric Flair's not entirely original in his...
No, I mean, because like we said, Buddy Rogers was the original Nature Boy.
You referenced Gorgeous George.
Yeah.
But I think Ric Flair just sold it better than all he did his own.
Well, he just amped it up.
Yeah.
He amped it up. He made it his own. And he turned a gimmick that was okay into something that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so he deserves all the credit in the world.
Oh, his promos, I mean, alone were just, I mean, again, he took an outline. He took a skeleton of, okay, this is how you be this kind of a heel. This is how you become this kind of narcissist, ego-driven heel. But he fucking made it, okay, but this is Ric Flair now. This is Ric Flair's fucking gimmick. He overtook it because... He was so dramatic about it, and it came easy, and it wasn't as cartoonish as those other guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just fucking like Ric Flair, you believed him.
Yeah.
And then when you go back, I mean, and really look at his life, you're like, this guy is fucking Ric Flair.
Well, and to this day, he still acts like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe having that working against him, I think, because that's not really a...
I don't know. Well, I mean, people find it entertaining. It's like
people find it entertaining, but that's kind of like watching... People get really drunk, entertaining. At the end of the day, you realize it's not probably good for them. Yeah. And Rick drinks a lot. He parties hard. He's that guy. I was curious because...
Okay, for me.
Yeah, for you. Because you're a little bit different.
Ric Flair for me was a complete WCW type era thing.
Like Nitro.
Yeah, where he was like... When he wasn't, you know, dressed in his big gaudy robes, he was wearing like turtlenecks and like some blazers and shit. Like he was, you know, that's mine. And he didn't have as much of an impact on me when I was watching wrestling. Cause I was mainly watching WWF at the time, but then occasionally we'd switch back to WCW.
These were two opposing.
Yeah. Oddly enough, when I started noticing him the most though, was when the whole Evolution thing has happened. That's sort of when I stopped watching that era. And like, when he did that thing where he like started hitting his head, there's a thing he did in WWF. Do you remember that?
I do.
Where he's saying like, I got the stitches, and he starts hitting, and it's like, it's one of the bloodiest, that he like
busts himself off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for me, Ric Flair, it's like, I'm not as like heavily into Ric Flair,
but acknowledge him as like that kind of weird...
because he's kind of like always been there in wrestling.
Yeah.
But again, it was during like the mid to late 90s, where he wasn't late 90s, early 2000s.
He wasn't wrestling as much until...
Yeah.
Like, Evolution kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. And then, of course, we get to, the Four Horsemen stuff, which...
Man, that breaks my heart to hear that, because he was so good for so long, and then WCW didn't use him right. So.
Yeah, see, that's why...
Didn't they just make him, like, a crazy grandpa kind of kid?
Yeah, and they kind of diminished the Four Horsemen name,
which
was made famous by the NWA.
You're wearing a Horseman shirt, by the way.
I am wearing a Horseman shirt. The Horsemen started in 1985 by the NWA. And then by the time Ric Flair went to WCW 92,
Insanely popular group, by the way.
It's the greatest stable of all time.
It is the first time you could say, like, wrestling stable, obviously because of horses.
But did WCW do anything with them? Because, like,
no,
feel like when I was watching, it was just like, here's...
This was a thing
here's
where...
older dudes in suits.
I feel the moment that Lex Luger entered the Horsemen was when it became watered down.
Yeah.
And Sting was in it, too, or something.
Right? Well, Mondo McMichael was in it.
Yeah, when Mondo McMichael
was
in it, that was even worse.
We're talking about Ollie, Arn, Rick, and...
The Tony. Real fucking right. Horsemen, yeah.
And J.J. Dillon was the...
The manager.
Yeah, so...
So, like, this is, to me, like, one of the rare times, because I look back on old wrestling footage, when I see, I guess, bad guys getting cheered, because, like, I'm seeing, like, things where it's, like, Rick versus, like, Hulk Hogan and stuff like that. And I'm seeing people, like, throwing up, like, the Four Horsemen, like, hand sign.
They were the NWO before the NWO existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's cool.
And they ran, I mean, Ric Flair ran wrestling in the 80s for the NWA. He was the NWA. The Four Horsemen was the NWA. They were the stable to beat. They antagonized Dusty Rhodes. That was their main guy. They went after him constantly. And they were
basically like a Legion of Doom kind of character, right? Like they're just
the Road Warriors,
not those, not that Legion of Doom. Oh. I mean, like it's like you kind of create this group of bad guys to beat up on the hero.
Yeah, and they were the baddest of the bad. They were badasses. Whether it be Flair, you know, Ole Anderson who didn't speak, Arn Anderson who was the enforcer, or Tully Blanchard who was a technician. Tully and Arn were tag team champions for a long
time. Best spine buster in the business.
Yeah. They were tag team champions for a long time in the NWA.
And the Brain Busters, that was a thing too. Like,
and unfortunately, like I said, by the time they got to WCW, they all came over in 92. It just didn't carry
the weight of what it
meant. I feel the problem was that original four was so amazing. I mean, they were anti-heroes. They were great.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and again, with Lex Luger, I remember watching the introduction of him as one of the new horsemen. And it was just, it was sad because it's like, well, he looks good. That's basically what it was. He's a fucking prototypical.
It was image
human.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, great. I mean, he was semi-narcissistic, and yes, he became a narcissist later.
Travis, what's your take on Tully Blanchard's work rate?
Well, good for naps.
that's the thing, yeah. Like when I do think about them, I can't think of anything memorable from WCW. I just remember them kind of just being there.
I mean, Ric Flair led them regardless, and he tried. I mean, but then he like David said, he's working with Mongo McMichaels, an ex Chicago Cub.
Chicago Bear. Never mind that shit.
Yeah, and he's working with people that are just like. Okay, great. I mean, and then the NWO comes about, and it's like, they're going to be a force that fights them. And then, obviously, the clique who was there at the time wasn't going to let the Four Horsemen put them over, so they would get beat up every week and get NWO written on their back. I mean, Mongo McMichaels was coming with a little poodle to the fucking ring sometimes, and that was fucking shit.
Well, here's the problem. In WCW, the contracts were guaranteed, and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, not only did they have guaranteed contracts, but they had creative control.
Yeah, that final
over
cut.
Kevin Nash
was booking matches, wasn't he?
He was booking.
Yeah.
So him and Kevin Sullivan were booking, rotating booking.
His last night of booking for Thunder is one of the weirdest like shows ever.
And Hulk Hogan had booking power over his own booking. So those three guys were never going to let Ric Flair get over on any of them ever again. So
and there's a lot of weird feuds you read about like Ric Flair had in WCW, like Scott Steiner and all that. Like, it's strange because, like, it felt like nothing was going right backstage.
Yeah, I mean, backstage it was a shit show in WCW.
And then it's like, well, let's bring that to the show. And it's like, I don't know if people want to see that, you know, or do they? I don't know.
I mean, those guys were just in it for themselves. They didn't give a shit. Their contracts were guaranteed.
Yeah.
As long as they look good. But they buried Ric Flair. And so he never got his just due.
Russo wasn't doing Flair much favors, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, nobody was.
See, and that's probably why for me, Ric Flair isn't like I know his importance. I now of course I know all about him because like you know I've watched a lot of stuff over the years, but like growing up he was kind of a non-factor for me. It was like oh there's that guy who with the funny ropes who like yells a lot
and he gets naked every now and then.
Yes,
but that's probably why you remember him WCW wearing turtlenecks.
Yes,
because that's what they had him doing.
Yeah, well, the Four Horsemen. I remember them like. like them always being in the ring, like dressed in like suits and stuff. And yeah. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, because WCW, you know, spent a good portion of their time doing what they could to bury them.
Wow.
To make the NWO look good, to make Hogan look good, to make everyone else look good except for them. If you look at wrestling today versus Ric Flair in his prime in the 80s and 90s, like, if Ric Flair is headlining a Starrcade, or if Ric Flair is headlining a bash at the beach.
WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Starrcade is the WrestleMania of NWA. But if Ric Flair is headlining a Starrcade, if he's in the main event, he's going to be in the front of that poster.
Yeah.
But today, it's almost as if whoever the champion is doesn't get the same respect as someone who was a champion back then.
And it's more of like a gimmick match. And I've seen in the past 10 years when I watch some of these, those like retrospectives and whatnot, where it's like, okay, the champions aren't the last match. The champions...
Are
before, but then it's like this retired guy versus this guy. And that's the main event, where it's like... Can you imagine fucking Hulk Hogan versus Ultimate Warrior, the second to the last match? No. You fucking end with the fucking championship match. Regardless. Don't give that guy the fucking belt if you don't think he can carry your
company. Harley Race versus... like,
yeah, here's Harley Race versus Big John Studd.
Not to shit on Harley Race, though, because he did have one of my favorite Flair-related things, which does not involve Flair at all in this promo. Which
what?
He puts the bounty on Ric Flair. Are you aware of this? Mm-hmm. Yes. So he says, here's $25,000 to any man that could take out Ric Flair from wrestling. Cripple him, handicap him, kill him, whatever you got to do. Here's $25,000 because I want the fucking belt. I don't want Ric Flair involved in this shit anymore. Or something like that. Yeah, and it's like, it's one of my favorite promos because it doesn't involve Ric Flair at all. And yet, he's like the main focus. Take him out. He's that fucking good. We need him gone. Like
Travis, does he deserve the belt?
I mean, maybe. As much as I deserve a good night's sleep.
We are recording at 12:59 in the morning.
Oh, so what? Man, Ric Flair would just be getting his night started right now.
He would be.
He'd be on his side line.
The crazy stories about like Ric Flair, because like...
Oh, yeah, during, yeah. What's some crazy
so,
shit?
So like that time, like right, like when he was in WWF before the whole like drug scandals and all that happened, there would be like these stories about people just getting fucking hammered in towns and shit.
Yeah.
But they weren't aware of how like crazy Ric could go.
Yep.
So it's like they're at a strip club or whatever. Ric's already out the door, you know, taking dames with him and all that. We say dames. We say dames every now and then. And it's like, where the fuck is Ric? It's like, oh, who gives a shit? Let's just go back to the hotel. It's like, hey, where's Ric Flair's penthouse thing? You know, where his friends and all. It's like, oh, his floor is this, his number is this. And then all the WWF guys go there, and they're just fucking, like drinking all his shit. They're, like, getting wasted. Ric Flair shows up drunk and higher than a fucking kite, pissing everywhere. And it's like, it's one of these things where it's like, you don't hear about this anymore because I guess... people are aware that drinking and drugs will kill you.
And no one wants to get in trouble also, like with the cops or anything.
You have such that, and you have such like a family-friendly like product now, and the internet makes everything so visible. The old stories about like people just getting fucking wasted and like people threatening to fucking do like the fucking heart attack to Vince like outside of a fucking window. Like, it's crazy like how people were like just that crazy.
What else did Flair? Like, what's another crazy Flair thing?
Okay, so like you're aware of like the plane ride from hell, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that should be an episode on its own because that's just
you've hinted at like, certain things.
Yeah, and I wanted to get
it's
to
full
that.
Of debauchery. And
it's a plane ride where everyone was covered. Not covered. I'm a little plane ride from hell right now, to be honest. Everyone was just drinking. And they were fucked up, and they were doing drugs. Fucking Brock Lesnar's like literally like wrestling Kurt Angle or something like that. I think I may have that name wrong. It was Lesnar and someone else, I think. But it's like it's just a crazy fucking thing. Like Vince is like not like Goldust is going nuts,
and Ric Flair was on this ride.
Mr. Perfect was yeah, and Ric Flair was there, and it's like just everyone like drunk and harassing like these like stewardesses and all that. And he's even got, like, do you remember that Comedy Central show, Shorties Watching Shorties and all that?
Yes.
They kind of have, like a network version of that on WWE where it's the wrestlers talking about their crazy story and it's drawn. And he's got one
where it's like basically he's on this plane and it's nothing but the stewardesses wanting to, like, you know, oh, like, can we see your robes? Can you take off your shirts and all that so you can put them on? Basically, they just want to fuck him. But it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you don't hear about this shit anymore. Because I don't know if it's just like wrestling just doesn't have that impact anymore to people, or if it's just, you know.
Now they're all buff, handsome guys who can just fuck anybody they want.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, back then it felt like if, oh, fuck, it's this guy, we should look at him and talk to him.
What?
And try to have sex with him. Like, all these things, like, all these different things. Like, you know, like, and nowadays it's like, oh, cool, hey, can I get a selfie and you're done. Like,
and back in the day it's like, can I give you a fucking blowjob?
Yeah. Woo! We haven't even talked about woo, have we? That's his catchphrase.
Where did he come up with that? Do you
I
know?
Have no fucking clue.
Is there an origin story for that?
Not specifically. He just started doing it in his promos, and it caught on. Hearing him talk, he didn't expect it to catch on. And then a group of college guys who were, like, sitting in the front row
started doing it
back to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, huh, this might have some gravitas to it. And he stuck with it. And before you knew it, it's the thing to
that's,
do.
That's the thing, and now, like same brother almost. Like, Travis, you're a normal person, kind of, who falls asleep all the time.
Not all the time, just when I'm tired.
So
that's all.
For the Ric Flair woo, I mean, I've heard many people who don't even like wrestling.
They say
like,
woo.
Do it.
I hear that, yeah.
Like they'll do the Ric Flair woo and be like, oh, yeah, that wrestler does that. I mean, is that something that infiltrated you when you were younger, looking at porn or whatever you do?
Well, yeah, when I was five, looking at porn and jerking all the time, I would often hear people say "woo."
What
in porn?
Great feedback.
No, I mean, yeah, I knew of the "woo," but
has it been more prominent with you since you started recording podcasts with me drunk and shit? Where I start acting like Ric Flair or trying to chop people.
You've never acted like Ric Flair. You've acted like Macho Man.
You act like Macho Man more than Ric Flair.
That's Elvis.
That is not Elvis.
Honky Tonk Man?
But
you do Macho Man all the time.
I don't think so, no.
Oh, yes, you fucking do.
Yeah, you have. And that there's episodes of Plain Zero that can...
David, do you have any stories about Ric Flair that you looked up
recently?
Yeah,
do you have any stories? Any cool stories?
Nothing specific. I just love the fact that he's one of the few wrestlers that actually lived his gimmick. And
The Undertaker.
He's one of those guys that buried himself.
Yeah, like The Undertaker and Viscera.
Mark Calloway is The Undertaker's real name. So
and he's an actual Undertaker.
That's kind of diminishes his gimmick a little.
The American Badass?
Little Kid Rock, Little Limp Bizkit.
We do have an Undertaker episode.
Oh shit, we do. But we don't talk about the American Badass era.
About that a little bit.
We should.
But no, I just love the fact that he's one of the few wrestlers that lived his gimmick throughout his entire career. And to Alex's point, I think the reason why we don't hear those crazy road stories anymore is because it's a different time.
Yeah.
And
people
just
get
like,
crazy on their own. They don't need wrestlers to do it for them.
And it's just like, you know, the 80s disco was great, and Studio 54, and people were doing coke, and things were more free and open back then. There's just more rules and regulations. And
at the same time, though, I want to say people are more liberated in some aspects, so it's like to them doing drugs isn't seen as like a crazy thing.
People
anymore.
Also treat wrestlers back then like as more mythic.
Yeah, like, and now it's like, oh, they're
like
that guy that does.
When you hear the story about the Iron Sheik and Hacksaw, like,
yeah,
how people thought they were really like enemies, and then they went like out a night on the town, and people saw them together, like, what?
Yeah, when they got pulled over,
because now there's the internet. I mean, wrestling magazines back in the day, they were very tame. The ones that
and
I would
the
read.
The wrestling ones kind of like in character
did
also.
You know,
yeah.
Did you know when The Undertaker was dead, he was spotted at the Taj Mahal?
Was he actually?
Yeah, like back in the 80s, wrestlers didn't break kayfabe, meaning they didn't break character. So, like if you're in a building and you're a heel, you're a bad guy, people threw shit at you. And it was hard to get out of the building, you know,
in
Memphis.
Piper got stabbed a couple times.
A lot of wrestlers did. And now it's not like that. People
and that's
people
good.
Understand that you're playing a role. Yeah.
Well,
you're playing
some
a
people, the boogeyman, some, most people
the,
understand.
The boogeyman can walk down the street; no one will care.
Yeah,
in real life, that would be the same thing too.
All right, so let's go.
Okay, so this is the part we do where we discuss like comments.
So these are your comments. So feel free to react any way you want to these, because some of these are fucking ridiculous.
So, like, if you want to close your eyes and fall asleep, go ahead and do that.
I'm just really looking forward to when you release this episode so I can hear everything I missed.
All right. So, here's the first one. Every rapper copying Ric Flair, TBH. Ric Flair sounds like rappers today. Ric invented hip-hop.
I don't believe that, but... Well, I'm aware.
The Sugar Hill Gang did that.
I'm aware there are a number of hip hop artists that have made songs.
So where did you get this from?
I sourced all these from pretty much YouTube. 4chan didn't really give me anything because they were just making fun of Bret Hart when I made the thread. Yeah, I don't understand it.
So are you gonna cry, Bret's?
A lot of people saying like, because there's someone making fun of Ric Flair and they're saying shut the fuck up, Bret. Like I don't know. But most of these are from different commercials, like for the new ESPN documentary that came out, some for his promos. So they're all sorts of Ric Flair videos.
So they're saying Ric Flair invented rap?
Yes. And by the way, that's not the only comment I found where people were insinuating that Ric Flair invented hip-hop or rap.
Incinerate.
You like hip-hop, Dave.
I do.
Did Ric Flair invent
it? I did. I did until today. Well, I don't like current hip-hop. I like 90s hip-hop. But I've never heard that before. But you do often hear rappers reference him. I don't know if it's to pay respect or what, to show off.
He does kind of have that, like, I mean, the lifestyle sort of thing, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, he lives the lifestyle, wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing, limousine riding, jet flying. I mean, he lives that life, so I can understand why rappers would reference him, but to say he invented hip-hop is absolutely ridiculous.
All
right, doesn't make any sense.
Okay, next one. He's a bit like Shawn Michaels, a great talent who made his wet, who everyone loves, but the numbers don't back either of them up.
What the
fuck? I don't know what that means.
What do they mean by numbers?
I don't know.
I'm guessing...
Like he didn't draw a house?
I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is when they say by numbers, meaning like... When I say draw a house, meaning get people into the building.
But he was like a tremendous draw, wasn't he?
He was an incredible draw, as was Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
So... I don't understand what that's referencing.
Well, this guy's mostly right then, I guess.
But Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair are two of the top five in-ring performers
of all time. Yeah, Shawn Michaels.
If not the two top.
Yeah. By the way, for those listening, Shawn Michaels related, look up Shawn Michaels overselling.
For Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam.
It's one of the greatest. It's one of the greatest oversellings I've ever seen.
We never talked about Ric Flair when he does the...
I showed you that video at my place one time.
I mean, that's what...
When he does the fall forward.
The flare flop. Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. It's one of my favorite things of all time. Oh,
he takes the best bumps.
Yeah. The best. I mean, just fucking amazing where it's like he's falling back and then he just fucking falls forward. It's like he defies... human logic.
He's so animated.
How someone could... He's like a fucking cartoon character, and ever since I first saw that, I was like, I love this man and the weird thing on his back.
I got it.
See, I was going to ask way earlier when we were talking about how he fucked up his back, I was going to ask if that's why he would always do that forward fall.
That's just because it's funny, and people like seeing that.
But you know what? It could play a role, but I doubt it because he wrestled for 30 years after that plane crash. Yeah, it took so many back bumps.
And those flare flops are they're few and far in between. I love seeing them, but it's not like it's every
match. All right, so you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I would pay great money to see Ric Flair take on Conor McGregor this week.
Dude, I saw that comment.
You did see that?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I'm seeing multiple Conor McGregor ones.
Okay, then I guess this is the thing.
Who's Conor McGregor?
He's a UFC fighter.
Irish.
Very current.
Oh, okay. I've seen that guy looking hot.
It's not a match that you would want to see.
He weighs 150 pounds.
He needs an air conditioner.
Okay, so what?
Yes. I would also pay money to his daughter.
Please. Which one? Charlotte Flair?
Charlotte.
Okay.
We haven't mentioned Charlotte. That's his...
she's wrestling now too, right?
Yes.
She's a women's champion.
She is.
Is she an attractive woman?
Well, here's the thing. Some people would say yes, and some people would say no.
That's not a definite.
Does she look like Ric Flair?
And that's where it kind of comes into like question.
I don't think she looks like
she
Rick.
Resembles him at times, but I wouldn't say she looks just like him.
I think Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter, who is the current WWE Women's Champion,
and no longer diva. They got rid of that.
Right? Yeah, they got rid of the term diva. I think she's probably the best female in-ring performer that wrestling has to offer right now, besides Sasha Banks. I think she's...
How is she compared to Bret Hart's niece?
Natalya is the best woman on SmackDown. They had Natalya's in her mid 30s. So they had incredible matches on NXT.
And recently they kind of brought that back a bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not as good, but still all right.
Unfortunately, Natalya, who is from the Hart family,
she's Jim Neidhart, right?
She's Jim the Knight, Jim the Anvil Neidhart's daughter.
Yeah.
She never got her chance. Like, she never got her just due in WWE. Like, they never put the strap on her for long enough to give her a good run.
But I think people that know her recognize.
Like underground. Like, you know, with the internet audience, she's known as one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Oh, that's good.
But Charlotte is probably known as one of the best female wrestlers in the world. And now she goes by she used to just go by Charlotte, but now she goes by Charlotte Flair.
Oh, that's cool. That's
good. So and now Charlotte... she comes down to the ring wooing, and she wears robes.
Oh,
like,
shit.
She's completely embraced.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
Her
legacy.
Father's image. Yeah, and sometimes Rick
comes
to the ring with her.
But she's also embraced his... like bad guy qualities.
Yeah. She's definitely full blown heel.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty interesting to see because now Rick will accompany her to the ring sometimes. And it's interesting, but she's definitely one of the best in the business.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here's another one.
No, I don't think she's unattractive.
I don't either.
Yeah.
All right. No, I never wanted to be you. Do not care about cares or plane rides. And one woman was always enough for me. And no, you're not the best wrestler. You're the one that bleeds too much and is able to
flip. That's an old photo, Travis. Don't you
and
dare.
Able to flip upside the corner when you're thrown into it. That move you taught Triple H. It ain't much more than that. Was never impressed. Will never be. Overrated. Just like Charlotte. Fake David Flair, a.k.a. the Beast Man.
Sounds like Dusty Rhodes probably wrote that.
So... Triple H loves Ric Flair.
He does.
Yeah, that's like his mentor.
a lot of wrestling fans online pretty much like say things like Dusty Rhodes. It feels like they make no sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, R.I.P. to Dusty Rhodes. He's one of the greatest performers ever, too. But Ric Flair is in the top five of any wrestling.
Ric Flair seems cool. Like category. Dusty's the guy that you like are, but Ric Flair's like the guy you want to be.
Dusty's the guy eating the quesadilla. Yeah. Wait, was that in this?
No,
that was last.
Podcast?
So you're saying there's a Dusty?
Well, this is a Plate Zero for a quesadilla reference.
You're saying there's a Dusty Rhodes in all of us?
Yes, but there's a Ric Flair we all want to be.
Okay.
Dusty Rhodes is like the man's man, and then Ric Flair's the man you wish you were.
Well, he's the American Dream.
He is the American Dream.
He is the American Dream.
The son of a plumber.
All right.
Exactly. You don't know what hot time
you son of bitch.
That's
here's
better ban Charlotte right now. Please to ban Charlotte for her take on the Rick.
Well, that wasn't a proper sentence.
No,
but
this was in reference.
I tracked it.
This was in reference to when she slapped Ric Flair on TV. And here's the thing: is that a lot of these fans from like different countries and shit are really big on like. Respecting your parents and all that.
That's amazing.
So when that happened, a lot of fucking people got pissed the fuck off and wanted Charlotte, like, suspended.
Can you imagine that your culture affects you that much where it's just like,
but,
like
but
you freak out because someone fake slapped their dad?
A lot of these people aren't really aware that wrestling's kind of, like, not real. So, like, it's like a double thing where it's like you respect your values so much and you respect... the show of wrestling so much.
That's amazing.
You don't want it. Like, all right. It's weird.
I hate when people say wrestling's not real. Like,
you know what I mean, though, when I say that?
I know, but for the audience, like, wrestling is obviously predetermined and it's staged. The outcome is staged, but...
I'll tell you about stories, though.
But
like,
these
those
guys
aren't
are, like,
real.
Some
those
of the greatest athletes
the stories
in
aren't
the
real,
world.
But the athleticism's
but
real.
To me, my problem with it's always been... But you never, like, watch Charmed or Buffy and say, like, this isn't real. I mean,
right.
You know, you fucking know it's not, but it's fucking entertainment.
Yeah. Wild
and the people
really...
are putting something into it.
It's
like,
because
wrestlers are putting into athleticism. They're putting in acting abilities. It's still a fucking thing.
These guys are better athletes than baseball players. They're better athletes than golfers. They're better athletes than most athletes. Like, I don't understand... The disconnect, like you can not call it a sport if you don't want to. That's fine.
Pete Rose wrestling.
But to not say they're not athletes, he's in the
I know
Pete Rose is in the celebrity wing of the WWE
and so
Hall of Fame.
Soon to be president,
unfortunately.
That's still
but it just
weird.
I don't
is
know.
It
pisses
Carey
me
also?
Off. Drew Carey is.
If you fight Kane and take a tombstone from him, you will be in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
But it just pisses me off when people say, oh, did you know wrestling's fake? Yeah, I fucking know wrestling's fake.
It's weird. It's like, hey,
did you know everything else you watch on TV is fake too, fucking asshole?
Yeah, it's an insane comment for people to still make where they're like, well, I'm just kidding. It's like, I know you're just kidding. It's a stupid fucking joke that you keep hearing over and over
again. Unless you're watching C-SPAN, I guess. So it's like, okay.
Let me hit you in the back with a chair.
Yeah.
All right, sucker. Next one. I loved watching wrestling as a kid in the 80s, but pathetic that ESPN made a 30 for 30 on him. They should make one on Gene Hackman in that case, since he played a great coach in a movie. Now some virgin fanboys will say, oh yeah, wrestlers really get hurt, so that means it's real.
Oh, God,
so
damn.
This is someone you would like to hit in the head, I imagine.
Well, yeah. I've had sex once, so the virgin comment is incorrect. The 30 for 30 is not out yet, so I haven't seen it. So
is it not out yet?
No, oh, so wow. I can't speak on that.
There's a XFL 30 for 30 coming out also.
Yeah. But
it's
a super random Gene Hackman reference. That's like obscure and out of place.
Like you could say Sean Astin.
I would say like Mickey Rourke if you're gonna make a reference because he made the movie The Wrestler. Yeah. But
so you would punch this guy in the face.
I'd punch a lot of people in the face, but yeah, this guy would also apply. That's ridiculous. I'm super stoked for the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair.
Right. I am in tears.
What?
This was for Ric Flair's intro on YouTube, just like his theme music.
Oh.
And someone's response was, I am in tears.
Well, that makes sense then, if it's for his intro.
You would cry.
I'm in tears.
You don't cry when
I'm
am in tears. A bunch of monkeys beating around a giant monolith, man.
Okay. What a douche.
Who actually got that?
2001.
Okay. I got you.
What a douche. I never really liked this guy. He's all about money, money, money. Where's the people all around the world struggling to eat food on a daily basis?
Well, that's someone who doesn't understand what wrestling is.
Charles, what do you think of that?
I'll tell you when the episode comes out.
All right. Let's go to the last ones. As long as you don't try to buy our government, have all the money you want.
So someone's like giving up. Look dude, just take it. But
wrestling has some weird fans.
So this. There's two more. This one's before the really weird one I'm gonna say. Okay. Why is his hair made of sperm?
Good genetics? I mean
that's fair, but when I'm 67 years old, I hope my hair looks like that.
Travis, why is his hair made of sperm?
Travis can answer that.
Look at his hair. He's formed or something.
He's doing
Alright, and so the final one.
Isn't that How I Met Mary look?
Alright, So here's the final one.
Something about Mary.
That female just witnessed an enhanced human, and she enjoyed being in his presence. Her face appears to belie a human who's having a good time. Bless Ric Flair, even though his substance of choice have often resulted in an untimely demise for many wrestlers, at least he was shouting at the top of his lungs, and he cannot be defeated. This is the essence of sporting and combat. Psychological operations are a key portion of warfare of all kinds, which humans do battle with one another. It ranges from the computer hacker detached, non-violent, yet extremely effective technique of being a digital cipher who kills people from afar with their laptop, to the operator plunging his karambit into the vital organs of a mark in the middle of a crowded bar in a major American city. These men and women are everywhere in society. They are an amorphous, faceless, ever-changing, romantic, passionate, and dedicated army of professionals out in the world who truly embody Ric Flair. Ric Flair inspired a young abused boy who enjoyed his antics into broken but still viable rough men in the middle of his life and looking to make a change for the better. Full stop. Although that might sour any potential friendship. Shalom, good sir. You continue to inspire every day with your wit, intellect, and charm. I love you even though I've never met you, as I love all of humanity. Thank you, sir, for your service to me. Hoo yeah!
Was that like, I have a dream but for Ric Flair? Wow. So they like Ric Flair.
That was a horrible Yelp review.
So what do you think of that?
Well, as you're reading it, I look over at Travis, and unfortunately, he looked like Robert De Niro with Down syndrome, so it was hard to concentrate. But there's just a lot of bitter people in the world, and it's just really... It's,
this man's not very bitter at all, I don't think.
That man has a lot of free time, so...
Either they're pieces of shit who just write nonsense and don't give a fuck about grammar, or they're a guy who just sat there and like, I'm gonna write this epic fucking speech.
I mean, I wish him the best of luck in the unemployment lines. I hope he gets what he needs. And yeah, I mean,
that's cleaning my throat. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Anything you want to add to that, Travis?
No, you said it pretty marvelously.
Did I?
Marvelously?
Wow. What a compliment.
Yeah. It can't get more eloquent than that.
Oh, eloquent. Wow. Ooh. Eloquent and marvelous.
You did it.
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good about myself.
I don't know what to say because midway I lost.
What are your final thoughts on this, I guess?
I mean, again, Ric Flair's awesome, and this guy thinks he's a little too awesome. but when he dies, to me, he will be one of the top wrestlers to go. I mean, Piper, Hogan. I don't love Hogan, but I mean, Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, these are the guys that sit on the pantheon of amazing fucking wrestlers. I don't give a fuck about Hall of Fame, whatever. Just to me, growing up, he was the ultimate. And like someone said earlier, Shawn Michaels, he was before Shawn Michaels. I mean, as far as that kind of ego, I think I'm cute, I'm sexy. Nope, got that wrong. Whatever. I'm tired too.
But Travis, you want
to
add?
I want to fuck Ric Flair is what I'm trying to say.
Fair enough.
Obscure Gentleman fun, head over to www.theobscuregentleman.com. And if you'd like to help support this podcast and the webcomic, please visit www.patreon.com/theobscuregentleman. We thank you for listening.
Hey, look, here's Drunk Rick.
Here's Roman Reigns, like, eating ass. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, that would happen.
I mean, I don't know why he'd be doing that in public. But,
hey, classic Roman Reigns eating that ass in public.